we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name's Bob Arthurs, and you are on WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM or some of the corresponding frequencies. So thank you for tuning in today. We do want to thank Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. And they are able to take care of just about any heating and cooling situation you might have here in the central Brevard County area. And we're very thankful for Creative AC Solutions. Bill Andriacki, his wife Heidi, is our worship leader. And I cannot tell you how many times we manage to function all throughout the week and have no problems whatsoever, and come in on Sunday morning only to discover that a unit is frozen up or a capacitor has gone bad or something like that. And Bill shows up early for our intercessory prayer meeting, and he is able to get our problem resolved. That happened just a couple of Sundays ago, and we are so thankful for them. They do a great job. Honest folks, hardworking folks, and they will take good care of you if you need anything repaired on your air conditioning or heating unit. Give them a call, 759-3284. Right now is from what I understand from AC personnel, it's a little bit slower time of the year. And so if you want to get them just to come out and do a service call, clean it up and get it ready for winter or for next spring, give them a call. It'll be a blessing to you and a blessing to them. We're going to get into the Word today in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. We have been going through this. We've touched all the way down through verse number 4, I think, is about how, or verse 3, we've touched on verse 7 and verse 21 as well. But I want to start today in verse number 3, and it says, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life." I believe we've already touched on some of those aspects. But verse number 5, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare and show us former things?" Today I want to talk to you just a little bit. I want to refresh your memory from verse number 4. But I want you to see that verse 4 declares that we are precious in the sight of the Lord. I remember probably 15 years ago, there was a lady who came to me and she said, "Pastor, I just had the most wonderful experience in the presence of the Lord, and he told me that I was precious." And if it was a reality 15 years ago that people were being beaten down, it is even more a reality in 2016, where there are so many people that are told that they are disposable, that they are no longer needed. They don't have the skill set that is necessary. They can't make it. They won't amount to anything. They're dumb as a rock. They're the ugly duckling. There, so many people are told in so many different ways, "You don't measure up to our standards, and therefore we are not going to be fellowshipping with you anymore." And I want you to see that God has spoken over you and spoken over us that we are precious. It is what is paid for you that determines your value. It is not what somebody speaks over your life. It is how you are treated and what someone is willing to give up to be around you. And if you have been rejected, if you've been cast aside, I want to encourage you, that just means that the other person didn't have God's taste. Because when God looks at you, he sees a precious, redeemable person of great value who is going to be a clay vessel that carries around this treasure of the presence of the living God. You are precious in the sight of the Lord. You are precious in my sight, God says. Now, in my office, I have an office manager. I've got the best office manager in Brevard County. I wish that I had more work for her to do, but she manages to take care of everything that needs to be done administratively at Merit Assembly of God in just about 10 hours a week, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. But she's just absolutely phenomenal at what she does. And with my vision issues that I have had over the past year and a half, every once in a while there is a font that I am looking at, whether it's in a book or a footnote in my Bible or something that I have written down in a very small, compact area. And I will go to her and I'll say, you know, I can't quite make this out. Can you read this? And we have these little cards that we used to distribute. They were our business cards. And it said, come magnify the Lord with us. And it had a little magnifying glass in it. And so she will break one of those things out and she will enlarge the font and she'll be able to see it. But in order for us to see what was written down and needed to be remembered, we have to make sure that our vision is correct. And I want you to know that God doesn't need corrective lenses. God has never misappraised something. He has never overestimated the value of something. He says about you and I, you are precious in my sight. That is how God sees you. That is how God sees you. And I think that it would be very beneficial to you and I if we would look at other people the same way that God looks at them. So when you go home tonight, why don't you look at those family members that you have and realize what a precious gift from God they are to you. And if you and I will start looking at them as precious gifts from God instead of inconveniences and nuisances, I believe it will be very beneficial to us. I remember one time I was on a driving range, a golf driving range. I was hitting golf balls. I was looking to get my game back in shape. I hadn't played in a while. And rather than spend a lot of money to go out and disappoint myself playing on the golf course, since I hadn't hit a golf ball in a while, I decided to go to the driving range and see if I could figure out how to hit a golf ball once again. And there were two men that were just downrange from me just a little bit. And I remember the conversation that they were having, where one of them was wanting to go buy a new boy toy. You know, the difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. I don't remember if they were looking to buy a motorcycle or an ATV or a truck or whatever it was. And the one guy said, yeah, but my wife won't let me take the tax return and go get what I'm wanting to get. And the person said, well, can't you all file your taxes separately so that she can't control your money? And I just about, you know, drove my club into the ground in the backswing, because those two men, guys, I don't know, maybe one of y'all could be listening. I want you to realize it is not about control. It is about recognizing the tremendous, precious gift that God has given to you in your wife, in your kids, in your job. Mike Murdoch has a saying, and he says, that which you disrespect moves away from you. And there are, I can't tell you how many times I have seen people who disrespected their jobs, and their jobs were was given to someone else. Their job was given to someone else who would value it, who would treat it as a precious thing. I can't tell you the number of times that people have been in marriages and they disrespected their spouse, and their spouse moved away from them. Their kids and their kids moved away from them. And before you know it, you are all alone. I had a conversation with some people a long, long time ago, and they were having a moment of intense fellowship, and it was over something really, really, really trivial. I mean, out of all of the things, you know, I've heard of people getting divorced over whether or not the other person squeezed the tube of toothpaste in the right place. That's stupid stuff. If you're arguing about over where to squeeze the tube of toothpaste, get a life, squeeze it from the bottom and put it all up there the way that you want. And if the person comes along and squeeze it, you've lost nothing. This was over how the toilet paper was torn off of the roll. And they were just really going to town. And this husband was berating his wife over the fact that she didn't tear the toilet paper off of the roll in the place that he wanted it torn. And pretty soon, the conversation had become so intense that she got up, she walked out, and she said, "I'm done." And she walked out the door, and I turned to the person. This is why I'm not a professional counselor. I am in pastoral care. I don't do professional counseling. And so I turned to the man, and I said, "Well, congratulations." And he looked at me quite bewildered, and he said, "Why are you congratulating me?" And I said, "Well, now you get to go home and you get to tear the toilet paper exactly how you want to. You won't have to argue about it anymore. Your wife won't be there, but you will get the toilet paper that you want." And I'm glad to report that they did manage to get over that hurdle. They reconciled and they went on and until they passed away to have a healthy marriage. But I want to encourage you, don't get blindsided by the trivialities of life, the little stupid things, the little foxes that spoil the vine. I have a saying, and that is this: there are a lot of people who would be willing to put up with stuff that might be a nuisance with you. There are a lot of lonely people who wish that they could put up with the stuff that gets on your nerves. You know, I'm blessed to still have my parents that are both alive, and I'm very thankful for that. It doesn't mean that we always, you know, see eye to eye and things like that, but I every time I go to visit them, I go to honor them. I go to honor them. And, you know, if there's a bump in the road or whatever, I just remind myself, you know, there are a lot of people who wish that they could have a conversation with their mom or with their dad one more time. And so I encourage you, look at people as being the precious gift of God. He goes on and he says, "You have been honored and I have loved you. There is no greater honor that you will ever receive than the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life." I remember when I first came to Merit Assembly of God, a church had some videos, marriage videos by Gary Smalley. And I will never forget, he brought out this old broken violin and he showed it to the group that he was teaching at the time. And he said, this violin, it belongs to a friend of mine. I had to get special permission to bring this for you to see it. And the neck was broken off from the body, and there were a couple of strings that were missing. There were some strings that were there. It was literally in pieces, and the strings were all that were holding it together. And he said, I had to get permission, because what makes this violin valuable is not its external condition. It's not what you could play on it in its current condition, but the fact that it has got Stradivarius imprinted on the inside of it. And when he said that it was a Stradivarius, everybody in the group went, oh! And he said, and that's what honor is. Honor is when you find out that what you are looking at, even in a broken condition, is a priceless example of master craftsmanship. And the current condition will never change the fact that it is a Stradivarius, that it's stood the test of time. Does it need a few improvements? Yes. Would you want to entrust those improvements to me? No, you wouldn't. You would want to entrust it into a master craftsman. And, sometimes maybe if we would look at one another with honor to such an extent that just like you wouldn't want me fixing that violin, you wouldn't want me trying to fix you. You wouldn't want me trying to fix your spouse. You want the touch of God. You want God doing it. I'm here to speak life to you today, to realize that the people in your life, they're precious, and that God honors them. He wants to honor you and I. And the greatest honor we will ever have is the fact that we are a child of God and that his presence. He says, and I have loved you, therefore I will give men for you. And I want to spend the latter part of this broadcast describing to you that it's because of God's great love that he is giving for us to be restored to him, that it not only has personal benefit, but it also has benefit for our family. For the next verses all talk about captives that are to be brought home. And it describes that you don't have to be afraid, even though those loved ones are in captivity, because God is with you. Now, here's the thing. These people that were carried off into captivity, most of them were not carried off into captivity because of their own sin. Daniel wasn't carried off to Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't carried off to Babylon. Ezekiel wasn't carried off into Babylon because of their own sin, but because of the sins of their forefathers, the sins of their ancestors. And we need to be humble enough to realize that when we blow it, when we refuse to walk in God's ways, that there could be collateral damage. There could be some people who have some hurt feelings. There could be some misconceptions about the goodness of God and the greatness of God, the mercy of God, and how much he loves us. And they could end up in captivity because of what has gone on before them. I do have a mindset about taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. I believe that we should be doing that. But I also believe that a lot of places that the gospel is not currently being proclaimed on a regular basis is because hundreds of years ago, people said, we don't want the gospel of Jesus Christ to be in this community. And as a result of that, there are villages and cities and countries where they are living in darkness because somebody made a decision. Those people are in captivity. But if we will say yes to God's redeeming us, we'll say yes to his redemption, and we will allow his presence to drive out the fear of humiliation out of our life and say, you know what? Would you forgive me? Adults, I want to encourage you that if you messed up in some areas with your kids, don't be afraid to go and say, look, I missed the mark on this area. Would you please forgive me? kids are some of the most forgiving people on the planet. Now, the longer that that hurt has existed, sometimes it's harder for them to get over that. And so I encourage you, if you blew it, even if it was a long time ago, go to them and say, hey, I blew it. And I don't want you to make the same mistake that I did. Is there anything that I can do to help make this right? And you know what? When you do that, when you humble yourself, even if they lash out at you, it's going to speak volumes to them. I guarantee you, it's not going to go unnoticed. It won't go unnoticed. I was told one time that people lash out at loved ones because they feel safe enough in their relationship with them that they know that that loved one is not going to cut them off. So here's what it says. I will bring your descendants from the east. That would be your kids and your grandkids and your nieces and your nephews. He says, I'm going to bring them from the east. I'm going to gather them from the west. If he's going to bring them, he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to get them. I'm going to gather them. I'm going to harvest them from the west. I'm going to say to the north, give them up. Now, this is not some person without authority. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is telling these people, I'm going to issue a divine decree to those who are in captivity in the north for them to be given up. And he says, and to the south, I'm going to declare, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. And I want to encourage those who are listening today to be praying for people to be saved, that there would be God, he would go and he would pluck up the captives and he would bring them back. He would say to this other region, I'm coming and I'm going to gather them and I'm going to escort them back to the land that I chose for them. I'm going to issue a divine decree on behalf of some people, and there's going to be strongholds in their life that those strongholds are going to surrender the dominion. Drug addiction and sex addiction and workaholics, they're going to surrender those strongholds in their life, and I'm going to resume my rightful throne in those places, in those people's life. And those who are reluctant, I'm going to say, you can't hold on to them. If I issue a command and they do not give them up, I will issue another command and I will take them by my grace. And so I want to encourage you today, if you've got people in your life who are in captivity, maybe they're like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. I want you to understand that the reason that the prodigal son came home was because where he was at, he came to his senses. All of a sudden, he realized that the things that he had always believed about his father were no longer valid. He now saw the flip side of the coin, and he saw how bad things were, and he said, I'm going to go back home. I may not be able to return in the same status that I left, but I'm going to go back home. And I'm praying that there are people who are trapped in all sorts of sin issues in our community that will come to their senses, that the seeds that have been sown, those words that have been preached, the lessons that have been taught, that they will remember those and they say, I'm going to go back. This world is not treating me nearly as well as what it was when I was under my father's protection. They're going to come back to Jesus. Now, there's also one more people group, if you will, that are told to be gathered together. And it's in verse number 8. It says, bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. And there are some people who they are not where they were with God because of personal injury or sickness that came into their life. And it impacted more than their physical well-being. It impacted their whole nature. And I want to encourage you today to cry out to God and say, God, would you restore me? Would you restore me? In Psalm 42, I'm going to take you back there. I've said Psalms when referring to Isaiah so much that now you might think I've done that on accident, but this time I'm actually saying it on purpose. And it says in Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And you could go on and read Psalm 42 and 43. They're great psalms. But today I just want to challenge you. Maybe you're not in a spiritual captivity, but maybe the physical challenges that you deal with on a daily basis, that they have restricted your spiritual freedom, so to speak. You can't seem to get away from the limitations that your body is placing on you. And today, I just want the presence of the living God to traverse these airwaves right where you are. And I want him to touch you today. I want to ask him to transform that place where you are at into a temple of the Holy Spirit, where he comes and he ministers to you and he touches and he restores and heals your body. Father, right now in the name of the Lord, we take the end of this broadcast today. I pray, God, that there would be people who are set free today from the afflictions that plague their body. Lord, I pray that you would touch eyes and that you would touch ears, that you would touch hearts and backs and legs and feet, God, that you would touch arms and fingers and toes. Lord, that you would touch and restore sound mind, God, that your people would be once again reminded that they are precious and honored and loved by you. And Lord, we pray for those who are in spiritual captivity right now. Lord, that the enemy is gloating over, I have your kids. But Lord, today we remind the devil of what you've spoken, that you are issuing a divine decree and they are coming home in Jesus' name. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
True.